Call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for January 15, 2020 at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation. Hill, Tiemann, Dorn, and Byers. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held January 2nd, 2020. Approve all claims through January 15th, 2020 in the amount of $694,919.83, except claim number 200101031 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $380, and claim number 200102224 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $768.66 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Galen Engel as the Gates County Highway Superintendent for 2020. Well, I don't remember that one. We had approved him.
We had it last time, but I had 2019.
Oh, we had the wrong year on that. So we're not going to approve you for last year. Again, this will be for this year.
Yeah. It's hard to switch them years.
Approved district court summary fee report, registered deeds fee report for the month of December 2019. Approved 2019 annual noxious weed report and have chairman sign the report. Approved specs and call for bids on approximately 11 miles of asphalt overlay for projects C34, 1160, 1161, and 1162. Bids are to be opened February 12, 2020 at 9:15 a.m.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Anything to be pulled off for discussion on the consent agenda? Seeing none, vote. Four in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 200101031 to Beatrice Lawn Care, an amount of $380, and claim number 200102224 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $768.66. This brings the total of claims approved through January 15, 2020 to $696,068.49. These are a couple of my companies.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Hill. Any discussion on this? Vote. Three in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Boy, we're shy on votes today, though. Comments for the public and requests for future agenda items. This would be any public comment for the Gates County Board of Supervisors. Anyone that's not on the agenda that would like to speak. I will say this time we have passed that January 1st mark, so anyone within the confines of Gates County collecting sales tax will need to be collecting that extra half cent sales tax. So county sales tax, including state, would be at 6%. I believe City of Beatrice is at 8% now. No public comment. We'll go into committee reports on building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning. I'll give an update on the sheriff's office remodel. It is getting very close to complete. We are planning a move on Tuesday, so on Friday we'll actually be taking a lot of things apart, getting everything ready as far as the desk is concerned. I am having two men and a truck help with the desk and everything. We're going to try and do it as quick and smooth as possible, so I'm sure Rosie and I will be taking things apart, putting them back together, and let those guys do the moving up and down the stairs. So hopefully it should go smooth, I would think, so we'll find out on Tuesday. I say the sheriff's office, as far as the interior, is just darn near complete. Diode is going to show up today, and they're putting the switches in the rack, and they'll put the door controllers in today. Toby was able to get here the last couple days, and he put the facade on, and that was nice. So he's just to mortar the west part yet, but he's about done with that.
I was tickled. We'd barely finished our committee meetings Monday, and Toby
showed up. Yes, he did.
That was a good thing.
It was, yes. And I appreciate it. I know he's had a heck of a schedule this year. So I am building just a small counter for the front out of the sheriff's office. Had gotten some cabinets and things from the hospital, so we're just kind of incorporating them into a cabinet. So just a lot of little things like that need to be done yet. There are two small leaks in that roof. We just noticed with this ice melting the other day. Skyline's coming tomorrow. There's one in the new part of the roof, and then the other is in where they didn't put a boot in one of the penetration steps. So we should take care of that tomorrow. And Lammel Plumbing will come in on either Saturday or Monday to take that window out of the existing office, a pass-through window, and put it into the new office space. Then we did discuss parking when we changed us to office space. We did lose 3 parking stalls at the sheriff's deputy parked at. So I was asked to just kind of come up with it. And it's not a very detailed or complicated one, but it just has measurements. It is to scale. Parking stalls in that north lot that is rocked. If people that, I guess, I'd recommend, like driver's license gals and maybe even the driver's license van gets parked there. Any vehicle that doesn't have to be in this parking lot could go up further to the north. It's an extra 50 steps versus, whether they're parking in this lot to that lot.
Did you talk to the sheriff about this at all?
I did.
Is this what he had in mind then?
Well, I showed it to him. He didn't say too much. question.
Who runs the county?
And the sheriff's parking lot is down on 10th Street, right?
But you had said that would take care of the issue, so I'm just seeing if you two are on the same page.
No, it wasn't what I had in mind, but we're going to try to work through this. I can see problems happening because, like David discussed, we can't clean that nearly as well to do concrete, and so we'll just let it go and see where it goes from there, and if we have issues, then we'll just have to bring it back and reevaluate. So
mainly what Sheriff and I talked about is, any vehicle that they're not in and out all the time and stuff, anybody that comes to work first thing in the morning and doesn't leave until the end of the day, if they could park in that area. Even along 7th Street, we're such creatures of habit, we always just park in the same spot, but along 7th Street on Wednesday through Friday, there's parking right along the street there.
Do you need to do anything to make this work, or?
I put the sign back up you took down. We got them, we'll use it, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I don't know if you're still planning on deputies parking the concrete, you want them over there as well.
What do you have in mind for these spots, I guess?
I would say we always have had an issue over there with crowded parking. But we're only actually, losing, this whole thing changed over the 3 spots. I would think if we just move, I would like to see the veterans van stay there for sure on the hard surface. But other than that, we could rearrange some things and make it work.
Gary had made the comment, just leave everything the way it is other than those 3 spots and move those 3 spots over to the rock. Would that cause minimal disturbance?
You mean the spots of deputy park at? Oh. Anytime you talk about moving emergency vehicles further away than where they're at, it's always going to be an issue. But like I say, if there's an issue, I'm sure it'll be brought to my attention quickly and it'll be forwarded to you guys.
Because, that was talked about Monday, that there's cars parked over at the, what are you calling your evidence building? The north building, there's cars parked over there anyway. They wouldn't have to park on the rock. They could park on the concrete at the north building. Myself, I'd just park on the rock. But that would leave everything alone. Will that work, or?
Also, in short, you want everybody to park over in the Rock or the North Building, which you're talking about?
Well, I mean, if we left everything else the same, the more we could have in the Rock, the better, I suppose.
Well, the two transports we have parked right next to the Yellow Building there, they were on the West Guardrail. And, of course, the deputies, I had to move over here for the time being, who took the sign down, so they parked wherever. So we just need to get a determination that I can take back to employees where they need to park at, so they'll know.
If we put signs up, I'd say put them out on the Rock so that we have some reserve spots there and then have one spot in case we have something that needs to come and go on the concrete there. Otherwise, I'd say leave everything alone as much as possible.
I'll still have to deal with the canine unit. We're having a hard time. The distance now away from the office is hard for him to control the car with remote. So we're going to have to see when I get done moving if there's been some talk about possibly can come into one of the rooms that we used to have with the dog and not leave him out in the car. It just kind of a domino effect on the issues I'm going to have to deal with. But
if we leave that lot open, can we use that for title inspection and then have the canine park right where the... I mean, this seemed like a really minor deal to all of us, and it was a...
I think, again, we're not servicing the public like we should be. If we're going to make them walk from clear over there, then we got to walk back with them, and I don't know if that's good. And you're going to have people fall.
With that in mind, then let's move all of our employees to the Rock, leave the concrete for the public then, and we'll just deal with that.
You're not needing all the concrete for the public. I mean, you're just talking the three stalls right in front of your area.
Well, we only have one stall for that section. And then we'll have one for public and one for handicap with the new.
Yes.
That's it over there now. So they're not being allowed to be over there at all. So.
Not too long ago, there wasn't a parking lot to the east of the courthouse. Everybody walked. We survived. Let's not be too spoiled. Just kind of work with it.
I'm just saying, I know how things are nowadays. So. And if we can get it, we won't get it cleared up near as well over here, but we just get the big stuff off because it will be an inconvenience for them.
All of you guys are agile, though. You're in and out of dangerous conditions all the time. I'm sure it'll be fine. If there is an issue, let us know, please.
I'm sure I'll let you know. Yeah. Very good.
Thanks, sir.
And the last thing I had was our heated ramp on the east side of the courthouse. That was installed about 19 years ago. And as far as the hot water, keep the ice melt going, that all works fine. But I'm afraid just the tubing in the concrete is probably getting distorted somehow over time. It's probably flattened out. It'll get just a nice snow with no wind. It works fine if we have a lot of wind with it. It does create a dangerous situation because we're having everybody enter that, and it actually gets, we're putting a lot of ice melt and stuff down. It just cannot keep up. And so I think it'd be a good time this spring, summer to discuss what we could do to place either the tubing or maybe widen that whole ramp out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
And I want to compliment you and your team for getting out and getting all the ice and snow off of here. Even working through the weekend last weekend, you're all over here on Sunday working.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Too bad of the snow, and I'm just excited that we're halfway through January. And I always like just getting January out of the way as far as the snow. I don't mind the February and March snow. This time last year, I think we probably already went through our entire snow removal budget. And this year, we just had a real small one. So
that's a good
thing. Yes, it is.
Thanks for all you do, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Anything else for building and grounds? Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance. Terry usually reads through a few of our larger ticket items. City of Wymore quarterly EMS service, $10,000. Beatrice Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $39,762. Contact Engineering Solutions for materials for a culvert project, spent $24,367. Minnelli and Wagner, $44,000 for continued engineering. And we did make a payment to Lammel Plumbing for This is an old sheet. I have the new sheet anyway. We had P&Z last night, so everything did get moved.
I gave you mine. Thanks. No, I had to move it. Yeah.
Okay, here's a different culvert project, $25,000. We buy a lot of culverts. That's really our only big expenditure for any materials or anything this year, or this period. Anything for finance or insurance? We've continued negotiations with the FOP. That's probably about it for finance. Human resources, employee relations.
I guess nothing other than we're really negotiating today.
Law enforcement emergency management. Lisa? Yeah.
Okay, sure. Good morning, everybody. Most of you were here at the committee meeting, so I'm not going to really talk about too much other than the two official documents that I want to place on file with you are the final permits for zoning with the totals, which all of you have had to finish the year up with 118. I know we talked about a few figures last time, but I didn't have it official. We had 48 ag permits, of which 28 of those were grain bins or grain handling systems, and in many cases, grain handling systems also included several grain sites, grain bin sites. So also 19 subdivides, and that would be a simple subdivide of a real estate property. For purposes of either dividing off a parcel for estate planning or maybe a smaller subdivide for economical purposes, but were no problems there. We had 22 new homes and or additions come to Gage County, and then the other side of that was storage sheds, the 25 storage shed decks, all those other things that come with that. So if you have any questions, just refer them down to us. That's great. The totals are there, what we took in. And then on the emergency management side, I am submitting my grant report, which going into NEMA for FEMA reimbursement. And that's just a breakdown of the last quarter. And we'll get those expense reports to FEMA so that we can look forward to some funding coming in to offset the salary. Just a brief kind of review of last night's zoning meeting. Yes, we were here until about 9:30. What we prioritized was to work on our solar regulations, which we took about an hour to review our second draft, and we're going to go back with some more research to continue with that. And then we also spent about 45 minutes on wind discussion again, just looking at the information that the Prairie Wind Watchers have shared with us and the documentation there. And then also we have been gathering other documentation as far as looking at DBAs, again, scientific research and so forth. So members are taking that into consideration. Again, we put on the agenda for the next time further discussion. So questions for me? Otherwise, that's all I have.
Well, and as we discussed before, any permits that are put in prior to any changes or potential amendments fall under the existing regulations that were approved in 2019.
That is correct.
Any questions for Lisa?
Okay, Landon.
Is FEMA going to get everybody paid before the next go around?
So Galen would attest to that, and Becky would attest to they're still getting their 15 money, so probably not, Eddie. But we met here again yesterday with Midland Township and then also Sicily on Monday. We've been in contact, so I think that continual contact of, I'm not going to call it nagging, but sometimes it is, of what do you need from us kind of helps too. So the townships are really working hard to try to figure out their mitigation. I think the biggest struggle with townships are that many of our township treasuries operate, you know, at a bare minimum. And if they made a purchase on a grader of some sort, they're trying to make those capital improvement payments. So they don't have a lot of money in the account to do some improvements that they'd like to do for mitigation, so until they know their project's going to be accepted, they can't move forward.
Right.
So that's the hard part.
Yep.
So, and if anything, we learned that the hardship has been to the townships because they're, most of them have not much in their bank accounts right now. So, and you have a lot of grader operators or those that are serving on boards, obviously are volunteers, but in the same sense, have really, you know, required a lot more time. Now, in the grant process, though, I will share with you any money that they come that's assessed, like, you know, any kind of project, the administration fees or some of that extra work is compensated like 5% of your total project. So to help offset some of the hours, but you have to get things accepted first. So.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, you bet.
Sheriff?
Good morning. Again, I'll just have Sergeant Davidson just really quick over. We talked about it a little bit Monday, just make sure that Roger wasn't here. I think Doug would be here. Just a brief overlay of what we're doing for the upcoming murder trial. So.
Good morning. A little more late than 7 o'clock Monday morning. We have been tasked, it's been an honor to be tasked with our county and our department, be trusted with the Keitel trial that will be transferred here from Nemaha County. And we've been making security arrangements for the courthouse. And the purpose today is to inform the board and the media and our employees and the public of what will be going on during that period of time. We will have a screening station downstairs, and it will be on the first floor. The only entrance available will be the lower first floor entrance. Every person will be screened going through there. It will be similar to what you do at an airport. So there will be a baggage screener to screen all carry-on baggage or packages or boxes, and then each person will be walking through a metal detector. I'll be teaching or going to each of the offices and talking to the employees about the easier way of getting through, less metal, you know, being prepared that way. Hopefully we can get it so that they can, it'll be stress-free for them, that they can basically just walk through and begin their particular day. I'd like to get set up next week by middle of the week so everyone can take a look at it and the employees can be familiar with how the traffic flow is going to occur. We also want to make sure that our employees are wearing their identification badges. So if you have those, you need to be wearing them, as we will be having some outside officers assisting us with the security, and they may or may not know who everyone is. As far as the date, it will start January 27th, and there will be about 70 jurors who will be coming in expecting to be screened at 8:30. So we, with that in mind, we would like patrons to know that if they have business to do Monday morning, Monday the 27th, it would be better to wait until late in the morning or into the afternoon, as it's going to be congested first thing Monday morning for a while.
Now, we have committee meetings on that day. Should we be looking at changing times or?
Well, you at 7 o'clock?
Yes.
At 7 o'clock, that's something that you could address.
We'd be in an hour and a half before they began coming in, though. Would that affect you at all?
Well, the issue would be whether or not your screen prior to our screening station being staffed. So if that's something that needs to be addressed, that needs to be addressed.
Maybe we'll talk about that later, and if we're going to make any changes, I'll let you guys know.
Well, it's something we need to, and if we have anybody coming in for committee meetings, we need to make sure that we have things scheduled so they can get in, or we just put it off and for another time.
We don't have anyone from the outside coming in for committee meetings that I can think of. We might sneak by just once, Denny.
The devil's in the detail. We need to make sure we got it done.
Unless you see any problem with it, that might be something that we make it in for, and then because we'll be in and out that morning probably. How will that affect you guys? You usually have someone in here, and we do have to have the door open and stuff. Will that be any inconvenience?
Well, my preference would be that door remain locked.
I mean this door here.
I mean this door here.
Usually for staffing, that door below, I believe, will have to stay locked. So that might be something we have to let each other in on, just so that it does stay locked that morning.
Yes, we don't want to have it open before we're staffed, for sure.
Worst case scenario, call Don or Dave that morning, and that way we can leave the door locked, and because that'll be the beginning of having the courthouse locked on all sides then.
Stay home?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Close courthouse. Close courthouse.
Anything else for law enforcement? Roden Bridge. Mr. Hill.
Yes. We will be opening armor coat bids today at 9:15. Josh Keekley was with Nelly Wagner was here to discuss the mill overlay bidding process. They were kind of summarized as the 5 mile north of Homeville, a class 1 mill with a large overlay with an alternate for partial 2-inch mill. Pickerel East, this is from 82nd Road east of Philly, Adams Blacktop, class 1 mill with a 4-inch overlay. And the Coke Road, or Southwest 89th Road, a 2-inch mill and a 4-inch overlay. Hopefully, some of the patching that's required before these start will be done by our crew, but if not, it'll be an alternate in the bid. Galen and Eric talked about the QA for the project and possibility of Anelli doing that. We discussed the binder. There's a binder that makes the road stiffer, and it actually requires that works best if you have greater than 30 trucks a day on those roads, which all these roads do meet that criteria. It adds about 2% cost to the project. For the type of road that they are, that's what we chose to do, is to use the city binder. We had discussion of the 1-6-year plans. The county's going to go into the Bridge Match program for possible Bridge Match sometime. And the Rockford Blacktop is discussed potential funding from the state for that, but that's a long process. Rock and gravel and fuel bids will be coming up.
And even though we are hampered by adjustment funding, we still have to take care of our roads, so armor coat's caught up as of now with this stuff moving forward, and we're looking at the mill and overlays of really bad roads so that we don't lose the base and the roads all together. With that, we have a timed event at 9:15. It's 9:14 on the clock. Maybe what? Now it's 9:15. Are there any other bids for the null or the armor coat project? I guess we need a motion to
close
bids for the 2020 Gage County Armor Coat Project.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Dorn. Vote. 4 in favor. Motion carries.
$11.65 for 86 is $84,159.62. And for C-167 is $38,609.14. 1168 is $165,506.50. 1169 is $41,362.34. And for 170 is $24,151.84. The total for the project is $422,745.72.
What was the first project? What was the first one, John? 1165.
68,956.28.
I'd ask to have Becky and Galen review that bid and get back to us as you have time today yet for approval. We will move on while they're reviewing that to Sheriff Gustafson's introduction of our new deputy. Good morning.
Good morning. Right. This morning, I'm pleased to introduce to you our newest road deputy. His name is Dion Steggy. He's a local. I think you're born and raised here, aren't you?
Pretty close to it.
He started about 2 weeks ago, so going through his field training. And so I just asked him to step up and just say a couple words to you. And then we're going to slip in here real quick. We're going to do a taser demonstration with him because he has to have a hit anyway through his training. Deputy Chavez, who's my instructor for that, will do that, and might have just a couple words regarding that stuff. So,
I'm Deputy Dion Steggy. Graduated high school here in Beatrice. I have two kids now. Wanted to join the sheriff's office to make a difference in the community and make it a better place to live.
Well, good morning and welcome.
Morning, thank you.
And I'll say thank you, too. The sheriff keeps on threatening me or threatening the opportunity for a taser demonstration on me, so this will be a good warm-up.
I knew you'd trade places.
Right, I second that.
Well, just to know, his time is coming. If you have it worked out pretty well for us anyway.
Is this going on hazing?
Thank you.
Maybe ask the sheriff that. This doesn't classify as hazing, does it?
You?
No.
No, this is what you need to learn, and you have to carry it. You got to do this to carry it. It's safer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm John Chavez, deputy with the Gage County Sheriff's Office. I'm currently our certified taser instructor. I certify all our deputies and corrections officers in carrying the taser on duty. Thank you. This is kind of a last-minute request to do the demonstration. Thank you for letting us come in here and do this. It will go quicker than the parking discussion. Why do you take off your shirt? Because this, I don't know how many of you are, I know we've done a couple of these for the board. It's two probes that come out of a 25-foot cartridge, and it's a... The effect of it is to incapacitate you for a time period of 5 seconds, okay? We have done demonstrations and testing on our vest. They will go, the probes are about like that with the number 4 fish hook on the end. The demonstration we did on testing is probably 4 or 5 years ago, did go through the vest. The probe itself does not, but it has a function in it that will shoot the arcing until it hits body, making a connection positive negative.
Do you need us to have anyone move or anything?
No, I'm going to ask these two to move.
Yeah.
I can have a 2-spotter. And what I like to point out is we wear these vests to slow down, stop firearms. This will not stop the taser. So if anybody, these are available to the public to purchase. You can go online and buy a taser right now from Amazon. It's not the same version, same effect. So he's got a newer vest. We're going to make sure and see if it will go through as it did on the last demonstration we did in testing. So, Sheriff, if you can just flip
that a little absolutely.
Bit. I'll have you turn it on.
What a great welcome to the force.
Yeah. I will tell you, he's not taking the test until later this afternoon, so even out of the class. So I mean, this would be an encouragement.
I believe.
Oh,
one more
this way.
I think so.
Yep. All right. So I'm gonna have two spotters. They're gonna hold them under the arm. That's basically because it's gonna incapacitate them, and sometimes they just fall to the ground. And he's gonna have no control over his body movement. So, this is a cartridge. It just slips right onto the front. We have a laser. Top laser will show where our top probe is going to go. And then we have a bottom probe that will come out. I will notify the taser, taser, taser where we start. Taser, taser, taser. It's counting down, it's 5 seconds. And now it's done. Basically, all I want to really show is it went through the vest. So the public, when they purchase theirs, it will also work the same way. So if we are presented and somebody is presenting a taser to us in the field in a manner that they want to hurt law enforcement, we are justified to use deadly force. Because this will incapacitate you for 5 seconds. If they pull the trigger again, it'll incapacitate you another 5 seconds. They can continue to do it until they are done doing what they want to do. The law enforcement has his hand.
Well, I think our sheriff and chief deputy ought to go through that test also.
You're mistaken, like again.
I'm sure they probably chief.
One of the two has a written. I won't say who.
Okay.
Okay, so real quick.
Confidential.
These have stops on them. I hit them in the vest here, and then the bottom of the vest. These are going to come out really hard. We can do that outside, but if anybody wants to see them later on, what they look like, I can save them here, and you can look at them.
If this is done to a person without a vest, though, you have to take them in and have them removed, or do you just pull them out as well?
Depending on where they're located, if they're anything in the eyes, throat, groin area, we'll take them to the, or have medical contact and come to the scene to remove them. Anywhere on the back, arms, legs, we are able to remove those. We're also trained in that. Another question?
Well, our new deputy did a great job. Yes. Good job.
All right.
Thank you, Dion. Welcome
Thanks,
aboard.
John.
Thanks, John.
Imagine that poor kid having to go through that. Everything on there, so those youngsters. That was good.
Where you were, who shot it,
and
where
the kill cartridge.
You should remember the
after
all that information all along there.
It's incredible.
Hey, Doug, you might consider using my hair to be negotiation.
I think I heard the department staff out of there.
Thanks, Doug.
I'll be done.
Sheriff, do you have anything else for us?
That was it for the day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Extension educator, Nicole Stoner.
How do I follow that up?
What do you have for us?
Not much. I don't get to tase anybody. We don't do that.
He's just going to let us know that the University of Nebraska is going to pick up more of the budget than we have.
Maybe not. I'm going to hand out this first. So that is our new basically diagram of all the educators that cover Gage County. And we've talked about this, how we don't have an ag educator currently located in Gage County anymore. And, you know, I cover 11 counties. So we did, the reason I'm giving you that is we have a new ag educator in Wilbur that will cover Gage, Saline, and Jefferson. Nathan Mueller started January 1st since Randy retired. And he comes to us from Dodge County Extension. So he's just kind of a transfer. So he's going to be doing all the private pesticide applicator training for those people that are starting up here soon, and just handling all of those ag questions. So I wanted you guys to see that. We still don't have a beef educator for the area. That person will be located, the last one was in Saunders County, so it depends on how they do that. But just to kind of show you that who's covering those seven big areas and what we've got in Gage County. Lindsay McKeever, our office manager, is on maternity leave right now, so she, so we have just recently hired, actually, an SEC student to work temporarily, kind of part-time, to help us at the office so that I don't have to answer the phone every 5 minutes, hopefully. So we've got Emily just started for us to do that, and the last name is, I think it's pronounced maybe like Maurer, but it's M-A-U-R-E-R. She's from Missouri, but studying agribusiness at SEC, so we got her going. I think she came over the other day and did all of her paperwork with you guys, so so there's that. And so I'll give you one of these. I know these are wordy, and I'm not going to read all of this for just because, but so we're in the midst of our annual reports at the Extension Office. So for the university, we have to do an annual report that is of our accomplishments for the previous year. It helps with state funding and helping to show what our impact is for Gage County Extension or for Extension as a whole. So these are portions of those. They're actually due today at the end of the day, so we're not all of us are 100% done with them because it's a hefty report. It takes a while for us. But when those are done, I can bring those, if you guys wanted a copy of those to have in files or whatever, or if you just wanted to look at those, I can bring a copy of all of our reports for you guys to see all of the impacts that we're making.
Your programs on Quibi are really, really good.
Thank
as
you.
You talk to the community and make some recommendations and do some teaching, and I think they're very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a really great relationship with Quibi as well as with KUTT when I do my Yard and Garden show. So that really works really good for us to just get more information out. So I appreciate that, that you're listening in and getting something good out of it. Sometimes this time of year is hard for me, you know, with all the plant stuff going on. So you can see through this just a lot of the things that we've been doing. Been really busy with, obviously, with I've been working with Master Gardeners and pesticide training, which start back up here next month. February 4th is the first Master Gardener class that we have for 2020. The commercial pesticide trainings, I will still do those out of the Gage County Extension Office. And so those start in February as well. So you can see some of the different things that I've been working with through that, of course, Yard and Garden. I think we're scheduled to start March 27th, so tune your radios in on Friday mornings for my radio show, and we're going to do a couple in the fall, I think, this year, too, so expanding that a little bit. And then Tara has been doing a lot on her first year with Extension. Doing a lot of after-school programs, which she's going to continue. She's going to do some, I think, in Crete, because that's part of her accountability region as well. So she's going to continue doing some after-school things. Been working with the ServSafe programming, and she did that this last year, four times this last year, with the Beatrice Community Hospital. So she's working on that. And other different areas, been doing the Go NAPSAC program for child care centers to help them improve their food practices at the healthcare centers, as well as her and I both do a newspaper column with the Daily Sun, so those are always a joy. Jane does one too. And they're every 2 weeks that we do, so that's a good way to get more information out as well. And then JC and Jane with the 4-H have been working very hard. They built the programming up this last year. In the traditional 4-H, they had a 32% increase from 2018 to 2019, and that included the 4-H Clover Kids. So they've been working really hard with that. Of course, JC, like I said, has been doing the after-school programs. Jane's been doing some of those after-school programs as well, just teaching kids STEM and things like that. And I know Jane's been working with the kids at the, I think it's at the middle school with the Quilts of Valor. If you haven't had a chance to see any of those quilts that those kids make, you need to see one because they are really very nicely done. And she's taking kids who've never sewn in their lives, so it's great to see what they're doing. JC was working with Connect the Dots program, Connecting the Dots, and so it's for career exploration. So she did a program here in Beatrice where the kids went through and kind of said, I want to do this career. What kind of things do I have to do, stepping stones, to get to that career? So it kind of shows them that they probably want to go to college. So that's a really great thing for those kids. And then, of course, we do Anytime Learning every year with lots of different programs, lots of different topic areas. I do a couple of those a year. JC does some, Tara did some, Jane does some, so, and we have outside people that are teaching those as well, and some youth even will teach those programs. So, of course, the fair, always a big event for Gage County 4-H, for all those 4-H programs that we do, and we get to showcase that at the fair. So, and a lot of donations for that, and different things for the kids, so. Of course, the fair is always great, and I think it's the 24th or the 27th this year. Oh man, they're going to kick my butt. I don't remember what the dates are, but in July they're back in for you. But anyway, so we are keeping busy over there at the extension office. But I just wanted to kind of give you an update of what we've been doing and show you that hopefully we're doing what you want us to do.
Thank you. Anything for Nicole? John? Nicole's been great, too, working back and forth. We've had a good relationship between the county board and the extension office. Communication's better than it's ever been, and you guys really are a benefit to Beatrice in the community, having that staff right here and that resource right here. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate hearing that.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Galen, do you want to give us a recommendation for the armor coat project?
I would recommend awarding a bid to Top Coat Incorporated for a total price of $422,745.72.
How many total miles is that?
Just under 31.
Okay.
I'd ask for a motion to approve that bid.
I'll move to approve it.
Second.
I have a motion by Hill, second by Dorn, to approve the bid for Top Coat for the amount of $422,745.72 for approximately 31 miles of armor coat to be performed in the year 2020. Any discussion? Vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it. You too, thank you. Up next, our Engage quarterly report, which will be presented by some of the exec board and our interim director.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please introduce yourselves and give your name and addresses for the record.
Okay, Aaron Chadwick, 1923 Elm Street, Beatrice. I'm currently serving as the interim executive director of Engage and continuing my role as marketing coordinator. Andrea Schaefer, 1812 Wildwood Circle, Beatrice, Nebraska, and I am the president of the board of directors.
Matt Morsey, 900 South 25th Street, and I'm on the Engage Executive Board of Directors.
All right. So I think you guys probably all have a copy of the quarter report. I'm not going to go through it in detail. If you have any questions, please let me know. I just want to do a few highlights for you. One of the biggest projects that we worked on last quarter was the Economic Development Certified Community application. So Beatrice is currently a certified community, and we want to keep that standing with the state, Department of Economic Development, and diplomats, Nebraska diplomats, oversee that program. It's a 5-year certification, so we submitted a couple hundred pages of application, and that was back in November. We received word back that we had a fantastic application. We just had a few revisions, so we'll submit those hopefully in the next couple weeks hear back on that. Other projects, we're currently working on an annual report just summarizing 2019. Overall, it was a really good year. We're still working on recruitment and business expansion projects. Currently, we've got 22 active recruitment projects and over 20 that we're currently tracking progress on. In the last 6 months, since July, we've had 5 site visits to our community, and 2 of those have happened within the last month or so, with another one scheduled tentatively for next week. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We've been shortlisted for a lot of projects. It's probably not something that you hear updates on frequently, because a lot of it's very sensitive information, but we do have a lot of projects that are moving along. So we're also getting ready for our annual meeting and banquet, which will happen next month, Tuesday, February 18th. We'll have an annual meeting at 5:30 and the banquet at 6:30, and I'll let these two kind of fill you in a little bit more on that. We currently have 51 active members with Engage. 23 of those are voting members, and we will be electing some officers and board seats during that meeting this year. And we're inviting someone from First 5 Nebraska, Elizabeth Lopez Everett. She's going to come and kind of expand on a discussion we had recently with Mike Flood about early childhood care and education from 0 to 5 years old. So mark your calendars and plan to attend that. And then I'm going to turn it over to Matt and Andrea, and they'll tell you a little bit more about the board seats and our search for a new walker.
So during the annual meeting, we're going to elect 3 board members, 1 city and 2 county. The 1 city is currently held by Darren Baer. He is seeking re-election. The 2 county seats are Dennis Rosine and Karen Stowes. They are not seeking re-election. So we are currently in the process of accepting nominations, I guess, for those seats. They're going to include a bio of why they would be a good fit for the Engage board. We will have a members vote during the banquet on the 18th, and those bios are being filtered down to Aaron as we speak.
And in years past on that, we've gotten the bios and talked about that too, so the board has input on that as far as how you like your representative, which happens to be me, to vote that day.
Yeah, we'll have those nominations out to our voting members before, ahead of the meeting.
And I should clarify, the people who sit on the board, like myself and Matt, we do not vote on who sits on the board. It's the membership of Engage that actually votes on who the board members are. So we will be there in attendance, but the membership, the paying members are the people who vote.
And the number of members keeps growing too, which is great. It's really great. Is there anything you can tell us, things that are going on? Any additional information on things? I mean, so many things are sensitive and can't be brought up in public or anywhere else, but vaguely, just some vague information.
Well, of the projects that we've been shortlisted for, most of those have been RFPs that were sent to us from either the State Department of Economic Development or NPPD. So I think it's important to note that we do get some traction on those projects a lot. So they were sent to us because whatever representative from either of those organizations felt that the actress might make a good fit. And personally, I think we have a pretty solid RFP proposal that we just cater to whatever project we may be working on. So as far as specifics on other projects, though, I can't really give you some of that, but I'm hoping in the next couple weeks or couple months we'll have some exciting news to report back on some of these projects. We're getting excited.
Every time I drive by that StarCraft property, I'm for you guys. I want you to get something in there, okay?
Well, we've got, Monty owns it, and he's being pretty quiet about his plans for that property, but he's got a lot of money in it, and I don't think he'll let it sit forever, so our fingers are crossed, too.
Yeah.
John?
Well, I guess I need to ask this. I probably get as many questions about the cost of Engage as anything in regards to the board, and during this time of transition, I was wondering if you have any ideas as far as where we could cut back some costs. I mean,
mean, we want Gage County to be more open for business than anybody else, but can we do it with a few less dollars?
And we did go in our committee meetings, we did talk about this a little bit. City and county provides money to Engage, but it's not a blank check. It's per invoice. There was a request, and I was going to talk to you about this week. The city gets the financials, and then we're billed for actual services or money spent. So I think we'll ask for just accounting of where the money's going. Our sheet just says X number of dollars approved by the city, and then here's our share, and that would give the board a little more specifics just on where it's going.
We've tried to be very transparent with our spending. I think in the past we have provided a QuickBooks login. Tobias has that information. We've sent it to the county before as well. So you have access to go into our books and see where the money is being sent and how that's broken down. So if you'd like me to pass that along again, or maybe you could create a report, if that would be easier, we can do that too.
I think a report would be fine. I don't think we need access to QuickBooks for any reason. I mean, and I told the board Monday, that is all out there. It's just the sheet we see comes from the city, and it's just total for the month or quarter, you know, several months, and then our share. I said, I'm sure that'd be an easy accounting. So many things are done behind the scenes. So many things are long term. I mean, whether it's a housing study that leads to a developer coming in, or a hotel study which leads to a hotel coming in, or even if it's a project that's going to happen, just the facilitation of owner, buyer, or wanter, haver that Engage does, a lot of that is not seen by the board, by the public, by anyone else. And that was something else I said, maybe I need to elaborate more on what's going on monthly or whatever to our board too, because the more you do know, the more excited you get. I had a phone call from someone that's building a house here, and they're going to have a friend build a house here as well. And they were originally from Beatrice, and they've moved to Bellevue, I believe, Omaha, somewhere up there. And they're coming back, and the excitement in their voice on the phone is something, having a dad building houses in Beatrice and Lincoln, that I haven't heard for years, because they were actually excited about what's happening in Beatrice. That's an atmosphere that's come and been encouraged by Engage, and we want to continue that no matter what. It's hard to get that motion, and once it's going, we want to keep it moving and increase that speed.
And just to touch on a couple of things you just mentioned, the housing study, we are wrapping up with that. We should have a final report in the next couple of weeks. And as far as the hotel that was announced a while back, they have been calling the city and
are there any other questions for...
I'll give you a brief update on the executive director.
Great. Any other questions for them before the executive director? Just, this is a great time to ask. You have a couple exec board members and the director here. Give us good news then, Andrea.
I'm here to dazzle you. No, I'm just kidding. The reason that I'm speaking about the executive director search is our executive team is kind of leading that search. We have a list of names that have provided to us of potential candidates that might be interested in the position. So our executive team is in the process of reaching out to these individuals to gauge their interest and encourage them to apply if they are so interested in taking the position. In addition to that, the job posting is on our website. It's on the Nebraska Economic Developers website. I believe it's been passed on to the city and the county for their website approval if you so choose to post that. So we are in the process of taking applications. If you know someone who's interested, please pass them my direction or Aaron's direction. My name is the one that's listed on the job posting to collect the applications, but they can be sent to anyone on our executive team. Past that, we do not have drop dead date as to when we're going to close taking those applications. We want to make sure we get a good fit. So we will continue to search until we get the right fit, and then we will move forward with making an offer to someone. Questions on that process?
You seem quite a bit of interest in it.
Well, I would love to say yes, but I can't say that. I think the timing has been kind of not the greatest. Walker last day was on Christmas Eve, and then you had Christmas and New Year's in there. So I anticipate that interest will start to pick up, but the timing with the end of the year and the beginning of the year, I think, was just a little tough.
If you guys do have any questions on Engage, though, I mean, make sure you get a hold of me, and I'll try to pass information along maybe every month or something like that. But, I mean, anytime during the month, if you have any questions, give Erin a call.
My door is always open.
She's easy to talk to. Give me a shout, and I'll talk to her. But, I mean, Engage has been very transparent and very open with the county. And I also passed along Monday. There's boards we're on that, like Senator Byers will say, we're giving money to this group. Why don't we have back and forth with them? Engage has been fantastic with the city and the county. We both sit on, both of us have a seat on the nominations committee. Both of us are, the city and the county are open and active with the board. So this has been a very, very good partnership, I think, between the different municipalities, as well as our other member communities too, not just Beatrice and Gage, but the two of them being the obvious players at the table. But it's been a really good relationship back and forth.
And I think that structure too is very attractive for people looking at the executive job, because it's not often set up this way in communities. So I think the way that Engage has partnered with the city and the county is very attractive to folks.
I'm optimistic we'll find a really great fit for this area. The momentum that has been created by Engage just in the short amount of time that I've been on the board, and what Walker and Erin have done, have created a rather lucrative position and helped put Gage County on the map, and others not only in the state but the region have taken notice and sought out their advice on what Engage is doing right and what they can do to better their organizations.
And there's big players involved. I mean, maps with Black Hills, MPPD's involved, State DED. There's just a lot of cooperation between a lot of big organizations in our area, which is what it's going to take to keep moving Nebraska forward, not just Gage, but all of Nebraska.
And I would welcome all of your involvement. So if you are interested in knowing a little bit more about what the board does, or kind of being in on some of the work that happens behind the scenes, please come. Our meetings are open, so if you'd like to attend a meeting, that would be fantastic. Any other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Ask for a motion to put that report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Byers. Vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Supervisor Dorn would like a brief recess, so we will take a brief recess at 9:49 on the clock. Are you ready? We will call the meeting back to order at 9:55 on the clock. Up next is approve or disapprove resolution for emergency relief program, emergency permanent repairs for project number ER3443, control number 13423, BDIR site L3403. This is another one of those payment applications that we're putting in for work that has been completed that is going to produce more paperwork for Galen, but it is the process we have to go through to get paid, and that will amount to a repayment reimbursement in this case of $14,474.05 and permanent repair reimbursement of $81.20.
Resolution 20-02.
What's the number?
20-02.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'd ask for a motion and a second to approve this resolution 20-02.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill. Any questions on this? This is similar to the one we did in the past, and I'm sure similar to the ones we'll be doing in the future, just for repaired projects.
You okay with this, Counselor?
No problem.
Okay.
It's required.
No additional discussion. Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Up Next would be approve or disapprove 2020 board and committee appointments. You should each have a sheet that shows those. The only change Senator Byers and I have on the sheet as of now is we added Supervisor Dorn to the Road and Bridge Committee. Eddie's out on the roads all the time looking anyway. Thought that would be a good fit. Are there any other potential changes anyone would like to see on committees or appointments? Give you some time to look at those. John, do you want to say anything on BBCA or?
Oh, I guess I can. BBCA has changed their membership structure, and they, to start with, they kind of took away the alternates, the second position from each site. They divided them up into three regions, and two of the members from each region will be active voting members, and the third one will serve as an alternate. So there will be 1 year out of the three where basically we don't have it.
And nothing we do can change anything for now, but talking to John, I said if we didn't have a voting seat at that when budget time comes along, I mean, I'll probably make the recommendation that we don't fund BBCA without say on what happens on that board. When does that go into effect, or that did go into effect already?
It went into, it was voted on in November, and it basically gone into effect. I mean, it's still being finalized, but the rule of the end was it had to go into effect right away.
Who's your new director?
Sherry Wurzenbauer.
Why are they explaining they're trying to do this, John?
Well, they do have a big board, and if a lot of the alternates show up, I mean, and you got three positions, you've got 27 active members, 27 alternates, and if they all show up, it's a lot of people.
Have you ever had them all show up?
No. But I would say about a member, there are 35 people.
But I mean, that's something for down the road. It'd be a funding issue more than anything.
We still have an appropriate voice. We still have John on board. He can be heard. He's at the board meetings. He has a vote. And I don't see any reason we wouldn't continue our support. They do a tremendous amount in Gage County that I don't think we hear about as much as we should. But what they do in so many areas is really, really big.
And I would say it was a close vote, and most of the county members, public members, voted against it. They'd actually tied, and the chair broke the vote.
Don't understand that at all. But.
Did you guys have time to review these? Is there any changes you'd like to make? Or?
Move to approve.
Moved by Vital to approve the 2020 board committee and appointments.
Second.
Second by Byers. Any discussion? Vote. 5 in favor.
Jurgens and Bauman are predominantly on pretty much everything since they're not here today, right?
Well, if you look, Bauman's on several things. Jurgens isn't on a lot of stuff.
Maybe we should edit.
We still could. discuss and approve, disapprove the 2020 Board of Supervisors standing rules. Every year it seems like there's some little tweaks to this, but you each have a copy of this as well. I talked to Don a little bit. We have a really informal meeting. In our rules, it says we need to address the chair before we speak, everything like that, which I think when we're busy, it's probably, or when there's a lot of public, it's probably really important that we have these rules. Myself, I really like the informal setting where we can all talk back and forth. Is there any opinion on that?
Again, part of that's up to the chair. Is how they, it's a control factor. If things get all haywire, you can bring it back to the square. It's not saying that you can't have an interchange. That's, I would recommend you keep that, even though it seems very rigid. Sometimes, and we, you know, fortunately, you guys get along very well. And it may not be a result of that. It may be some outline thing that comes in.
When there's controversial things, or I said there's potential for a lot of change on our board this next cycle. We have been very fortunate where we can all discuss things, even at heat, and still get along. But it seems to work very well this way. I mean, we can be more formal if there's controversial issues, the public's here, or if John gets out of control, we can rein him in.
Yep. Eddie brought up this one, and maybe this rule number two, because I'm not quite sure what this is to indicate.
Each neighbor shall take the chair. The time to which the board sends the chair, the board shall then.
The law now says, or the statutes, you know, it's the first meeting when we do our reorganization, and I'm not sure if that's what this is pertaining to, the reorganization.
It looks like it.
Because this would not be accurate, because we have to do it whatever your meeting, how your meetings fall, so.
Okay. Should we amend that then, the chairperson at the meeting held on the first meeting of organization?
It's the first meeting of the new year. I mean, that's whenever we hold our reorganization meeting. Sometimes it falls, though, that it's not the first one, it's the second one, so it just...
And you probably should just say first meeting, because,
you know, first reorganization meeting, because the year that Myron was here, he had the first meeting because of the way it fell. It had to be the Thursday after, because you're sworn in and stuff, so... It's kind of a little bit, yeah. I'm not quite sure which way would be proper.
The chairperson at the meeting.
First meeting of the year.
The chairperson at the first meeting of the year.
Or
organization.
I'd say reorganization, because sometimes the first meeting of the year doesn't fall where you switch. I'm trying to think when Myron, he was still the chairperson that first, last year.
We had one.
Yeah.
At least one.
And then the next one, yeah. So it falls a little different each time.
Chairperson shall take the chair at the meeting of reorganization.
And I'm not sure when they mean to which the board stands adjourned, so that would be our sign of die, I would assume.
Time to which the board stands adjourned. Shall then call.
I'm
going
to have to look at my statute.
Could we, Roger, could we have an amendment to Rule 2 that says we'll change that to work within the new statute?
Why,
once we look at it?
You say that, yeah, just the chairperson at the organizational meeting.
Reorganization.
Each of each new year shall take the chair.
Reorganization meeting.
So how would you word that?
The chairperson at the organizational meeting of each new year.
Yeah.
The rest would be in
held.
Do we need to change anything with the,
so would you like the
at the time to which the board stands adjourned?
Well, you would do sign a die on that reorganization meeting, and then.
So, and basically it's just. You'll do the same thing in the end.
So I think if the chairperson at the reorganization meeting held
each new year.
Each new year, yeah. She'll take, maybe we could do that.
Someone will have to amend Rule 2 to the chairperson at the reorganization on the meeting of each new year shall take the chair at the time to which the board stands adjourned, and the board shall then be called to order in the role of members called. I suppose we need a motion and a second to make an amendment.
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Eddie.
Second.
Second by John. This vote will be just for the amendment to Rule 2. Vote, 5 in favor, so anything moving forward will be with the amendment to Rule 2. Any other items that you see? Jail inspections are still on there. Supervisor Dorn, did you want to be on that for each quarter, you said?
No.
You got changed. I thought I updated, but that shows it.
I did not make that comment.
Do anything for that?
You nervous, is it, or what?
Just
what's
make
that?
Note of it, I'll retype the stuff. I made
just,
changes.
Just a note of
I
typing under the board committee appointments. It says 2019, but that will be changed to 2020, just on the sheet that we have here.
I added the Dorn onto the road bridge, but I missed the 2019.
If there's nothing else for the rules, I would ask for a motion to approve the 2020 Board of Supervisors standing rules with the amendment to Rule 2.
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Byers. Any additional discussion or changes? Vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove setting date and time for public hearing for legislation enacted in 2014 to decide on elected or appointed county supervisors in counties under 150,000 in population. This is, do we need a motion and second to discuss, or can we discuss before?
Well, you can do it later. Just give them a preface as to what's going on, why you're even considering it.
The legislature passed some bill that says we need to decide if we're going to have, if we're under 150,000 people in our county, if we're going to have an appointed surveyor or a elected surveyor. With an elected surveyor, or if we're going to combine those roles, an elected surveyor, they get paid like we do as elected officials, county benefits, things like that. Then they have their own budget. They work as an elected official, work off. They're paid for being a surveyor, and then outside of that, they bill for the services they provide. If we combine those, someone else, say the clerk, the register of deeds, someone like that could be our surveyor, and they would contract that to,
we have to have the
credentials?
They got to be licensed.
Qualifications to.
Oh, if you're going to combine
whatever,
them, you have to.
Yeah.
So we aren't in a position where we could combine with another elected official.
No.
What we could do is appoint a surveyor. You don't pay any county wages or benefits to that person. You just hire that person as the surveyor for the county, and then they would end up billing things out hourly. We, or however they bill it, we have to make a decision whether we're going to do that. If we don't make a decision on that, then that goes back to a vote of the people in November.
Right, so we have to decide if we want to pass a resolution to maintain an elected surveyor by February 1. If we do not pass a resolution by February 1, it will be placed on the ballot in the general election, and the vote will be placed as, shall this position be an appointed surveyor or an elected surveyor position, and the people will vote on that. if you choose to have appointed and you hire, or not an appointed, just hire a contractor, the way I was explained to me was that you would need to keep that same person. It's not per job. You can't jump around. And they may or may not require a retainer to do that. So there's some little things like that that you have to consider, too, on those.
So right now we use Minnelli and Wagner for a lot of stuff, but we could appoint, say, someone else, take bids and appoint someone else to be the surveyor, and then they'd be appointed for a four-year amount of time. This is only to set a date and time for the public hearing to decide if we're going to do that.
This will be for the resolution to probably to hold as a elected position.
Wait.
If not, I know, I think I put that down maybe not quite correctly.
Because this is only to set a public hearing time.
We have to set a public hearing if we're going to continue as elected official position. So if we're not, we don't do it, and we just let it go on the ballot.
And it simply, if you guys want to make a decision, you got to do it before February 1st. If you want to let the people make a decision on this, I mean, that sounds all wonderful. Think about it. Who really understands what a surveyor does for the county? And it's too bad Galen's not here, because we rely on the surveyor quite often. Because a lot of times we're talking about, well, let's just do this. And you, as a contractor, you know, you got to find out where the lines are. And sometimes if you're waiting on a private person, you know, I think at least the ones I've been associated with, the county surveyor, the last two that I've worked with, have been really good to work with.
Okay.
I mean, you call them, they get it done.
I haven't had a chance.
He just said that he calls on him probably, he said, a dozen times or more. Just depends on things.
To the
year?
Mm-hmm. In a year.
We think there's somewhere around five. Hell, his budget's $90,000, I think.
That includes his salary.
Including his salary. A couple years ago, this was brought up because we thought he was surveying within his salary. Surveying's done outside of the salary, the equipment, things like that. I haven't had a chance to talk to Chris. I do have a message in with two other surveyors just to see what type of rates they would have. Chris is great to work with. I mean,
well,
I work
about
with him privately.
A lot of times the counties I've worked with in the past, it's tough to find somebody that wants to get tied down like this. To be honest with you. I think the guy before Chris, you know, Bill Whaling, was terrific. I know a lot of people, he was a stick in the mud, but he got it done right. When everybody else got it done screwing around with it, and there was all these cut places where, oh, we'll do it cheaper. Sometimes they didn't do it right. And
this position is a part-time position currently.
This year we spent about $5,000 in addition to Chris's salary, which would go along with Colin.
$35,000, that includes his salary.
So about 10 outside of his salary, roundabouts, 9. Which would go along with calling him a dozen times or so. So if we do nothing, this goes to a vote of the people. If we want to talk about this, do we have to have a public hearing?
Yes,
or?
We have to hold a hearing by February 1 to decide that we're going to keep it as elected position.
So if we're going to keep it, we need to have a public hearing. If we're not going
to,
and we're out of time, we have to
do
it
now.
If
we're
going to
have it.
If we're going to have it. If we're not going to keep it, or we don't know, it goes to a vote of the people decide, then we don't have to have this public hearing. But if we would choose to not have this public hearing now, then we don't have that choice to keep it as an elected position. John?
I would assume we could have the hearing, and at that time decide to let it go to the vote of the people.
I would assume that also.
Your resolution that you would have to pass at that point in time would be to maintain it as an elected position.
We
can decline
to
do that.
Pardon?
We can decline.
You can choose not to take any action on it.
We would have to do that the same day as our public hearing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got, how did this sneak up on us? It just happened to come out at?
Come out at the end of December.
So we just didn't have, we just
December,
didn't have time
December
on
December 19th, I guess. So we kind of just looked at it and didn't realize
what just popped out hard. So I guess what I'm asking you guys today is, do you want to have the public hearing where we have the option to keep this as a elected position, or do you want to not ask and let it go to a vote of the people? I know that's been the discussion before, is if we don't have that position, there's a fair amount of savings that we can have. But irregardless, I'll probably talk to Chris and a couple other surveyors and for general information.
Read the information right there.
There's probably, I bet everybody got an email to it.
I don't know that they did.
It doesn't work just to hire a surveyor when you need one?
We can, but right now we can't. Right now there's an elected position that draws wages, benefits, retirement, everything from the county. We can't just go outside of that. We do that also. Right now we hire outside surveying as well. If we, right now, regardless of what we do, we have an elected position.
That gets paid whether he's surveying or not.
Right. So if we don't keep an elected position, even if we say we don't want an elected position, if that's the case, then we do nothing, and it goes on to a vote of the people.
Right. It's either going to be elected or appointed. And this isn't an option to select or get a surveyor when we need one.
Right.
But if we appoint one, we can just pay him as we need him. We can say...
No.
Well, you said this, Mike.
The position is always going to be there. You're not saving any money on this thing.
Well, if it's appointed, though, and they're not used, they don't get paid anymore.
Yeah, they do.
No, it's the same difference between Roger's position is elected and Galen's position is appointed.
That's the difference.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
That's it.
So we can appoint one, though. You said they may require a retainer. That doesn't guide you that at all.
Some counties.
Basically, the change would be this board would appoint who they wanted. It would serve at the discretion or the pleasure of this board, like Galen is John said.
But we wouldn't pay him unless
Yes, you would. The contract would be the same. Or not the contract. As an elected official, you're not under contract.
So we would pay somebody that's part-time position, even though they aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
No county does that.
No,
oh, yeah,
no small county does that.
What she told me was the exception.
I don't think there's any.
Yeah. The exception was that you can contract, but that's where she said the retainer, and you can't jump around.
You
and
can't jump around. They
opinion.
May require a retainer. A retainer would be money there, mm-hmm. not a wage, and that retainer is used if they're used. So those two things don't jive at all. If we have a position and they're getting paid, they don't get a retainer. So, I mean, those are complete opposites.
Well, after Don talked to me a little, I did some looking at this. I'm trying to figure out why in the heavens would the legislature.
Attorney General.
The only thing I can think, Eric, is you've got some places, I'm not so sure, it's hard to get people to basically raise their hand and run for this office, or any office. I mean, you're out there in the public running for office to get a job. You got paid money to get it. And they were having trouble catching people to be a county surveyor. They make money on the side in private practice. Why do I want, because if they get a call from Galen or my office saying I need to survey, they got to drop what they're doing privately and go get it done.
So what you're saying is the wage that we pay that, if it's appointed or not, we would pay the same amount of money.
Well, I'm not,
because I don't see that here anywhere.
Well, basically the concept here is between appointment of this board and an election by the people. And it goes back, I think, it's probably been there for a long time.
So here's what it says. The counties with an elected surveyor as of January 1, 2020, the county board may, following a public hearing, adopt a resolution to continue to elect the county surveyor. The resolution must be adopted prior to February 1, 2020. The question is not submitted to the voters, and the office of the county surveyor continues to be an elected position. If the county board does not adopt a resolution to continue to elect the county surveyor, the question of electing a county surveyor must appear on the general election ballot in November 2020. If a majority of the votes cast against the election of the office of county surveyor. The elected office ceases to exist at the end of the term of the incumbent, and the office becomes an appointed position. The appointee serves the same four-year term as an elected surveyor. If the majority of the votes cast are in favor of the election of the office of county surveyor, the office continues to be elected. And then there's also a segment in there, counties with an appointed surveyor. And then it says, for all counties after 2021, beginning in 2021, the question of electing a county surveyor can be placed before voters at the next statewide general election by county board action or petition. If the board wants to place the issue on the ballot, it must adopt a resolution on or before September 1 prior to that election. And if a petition process is used, it must be signed by at least 10% of the registered voters in the county, presented to the county clerk election commissioner on or before September 1. And then it goes in to say, the majority of the votes cast against the election of the office of county surveyor office ceased to exist, the same process.
Because we couldn't appoint somebody to part-time and give them full benefits.
Well, again, when I see something like this, my first impression is somebody's trying to abrogate a constitutional office. They're not happy with who's been in the office. They can't beat them at the polls, so by gosh, I'll beat them here and I'll make it an appointed position. I'm not going to appoint them. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but why else would you do it?
Our surveyor's done really
well. The one thing I wonder about, there might be counties that don't have a surveyor living in the county.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they got to bring him in.
So then how do you run for it?
How
do you run for it if you don't live in the county?
They basically, I'm trying to think, like, we've got county attorneys like out in, my Sand Hill.
Cherry.
You know, well, not Cherry, Cherry's a big county. But you got some of the boot hills in those places. Man, there isn't 50 people in those counties. And I know, for instance, the county attorney from, like, Ogallala covers to the counties north of there, Thedford, Stapleton, and that. And so they don't have to be. You know, if it's underneath a certain population, you don't have to live there. That's how they get around that, or not get around it. That's how they deal with it.
No, just sat down hard.
But if you appoint somebody, you can't just... This is your, because I mean, there's city attorneys that are appointed. There's city engineers that are appointed engineers, but they aren't city employees. They're appointed.
They're independent contractors.
Right. They don't get paid unless they're doing design work. Like Minnelli and Wagner is basically our appointed engineer. We only pay them as they do stuff. If we had an appointed surveyor,
we're not. Yeah, we're not required to have a county engineer.
But there are elected. That's one of the ones on here, county engineers.
That's in the populations.
Is there any reason not to have this hearing and make a decision then? Whether to let it go to the ballot or...
I just want you guys to know so that if we don't act today, it goes to the ballot. I just want you guys to have that option.
I think John's right. Just set it for the hearing. That gives you 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
The email that we received from NACO said that... Legislation acted in 2014 requires the election of county surveyors in all counties under 150,000 unless certain actions are taken. The attached documents set out these requirements. Please note that if a county already elects a surveyor and the county board would like to maintain the position of an elected office, the board must hold a hearing and pass a resolution by February 1. Absent the hearing and resolution, the question of whether to elect or appoint a county surveyor is presented to voters at the next general election. So that's the...
I'll move to hold the hearing.
We have a motion by John.
Second.
A motion by Hill, second by Lytle, to approve setting a date and time for the public hearing for legislation enacted in 2014. This would basically give us the option. It'll have the public hearing. It gives us the option to do something. And it would be for 2 weeks on January 29th, I assume.
Yes, we'll have to have that then
at
9:30.
And if we don't act, we don't have any choice. If we have this public hearing, we have the option to decline to vote to have the surveyor.
Yeah, I understand that. I just didn't know what the motion was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but if we don't do anything, we don't have the public hearing, this automatically skips us and goes to a vote of the people. Motion by Dorn? No. Motion by Hill, second by Lytle. which I wrote down somewhere, vote 5 in favor to have the public hearing on January 29th at 9:30 a.m. Last on the agenda, approve or disapprove signing a letter on enhancing state and local involvement in refugee resettlement, which is in reaction to a executive order by the president, which I read incorrectly to start with. I thought it meant, it does say we consent to the refugee program, but basically what it is, I did talk to Taylor Gage at the governor's office. He approved this as well, so I asked why, and it's basically approving the more stringent regulations on vetting of refugees. I didn't like the idea that it was such a blanket statement, but it basically lists our...
Yeah, but that's... See, those aren't correct either.
No. Where's the actual... That's not it either. Oh, here's the email. Executive Order Number 13888, consent from governors and local executives for future resettlement. It's for Lutheran Family Services, Catholic Social Services of Southern Nebraska, and the Refugee Empowerment Center. It goes on with the executive order.
They're all in favor of this?
They're all in favor of this. It's more stringent vetting so that we don't have influxes like we're seeing in Europe or Minnesota, where there are unvetted immigrants, not immigrants, refugees.
Those social service agencies are in favor of this.
They'll work through them. They're part of the resettlement.
They'll do the vetting.
The government will do the vetting, the federal government.
And the social service agencies, what role they play? Other than just...
Locating, I think, is the way it looks.
Other than just supporting this.
It's more, they'll be used in the relocation of the refugees or the placements. I had more on this, I could swear on that email. But it goes in to talk about the additional vetting. That's where the governor was in support of this. Trump has set up additional safeguards so that we don't have people that may not be good people coming in. You can't stop everyone, but it should enhance the security, basically.
Well, basically enhances state and local involvement. State, I can understand our governor wanting to take over everything. But how about the local involvement?
The state and local won't be involved with the vetting. It'll be federal. It's us consenting to the additional vetting.
Well, this is a letter to enhance the state and local environment involvement.
That is what it says. That's not what I read in the actual letter, though.
This is what they had on there.
Probably what it comes out of. That's how they're selling it.
And we also, I don't have it here. I think there's more in the email. There's
the email that you have. Here's the letter, the initial copy of it.
The initial letter, which is headered Mike Pompeo, this letter is in reference to Executive Order 13888 on enhancing state and local involvement and resettlement. I consent to initial refugee resettlement in Gage County as per the terms of the executive order. I understand that my consent will be publicly released. This consent is valid unless or until it's withdrawn. My concern was just a blanket statement saying we'll allow refugee resettlement. I don't like that. I mean, there's been so many issues in other places. I didn't like the idea of that. I asked the sheriff. He said, well, we'll deal with whatever we need to. I don't see this increasing resettlement. I just see it being with their executive order, which basically it says we're going to vet these people instead of just bringing them in. And
I don't think that's totally correct that they just brought them in. You know, but
well, and I mean, there's disagreement on how refugees were brought in. But instead of just allowing... unless instead of allowing the process that was in place, it's going to be more stringent now.
And kind of an enhanced on one of the levels of people involved.
So, I mean, it's basically more vetting by the federal government. This is a Trump executive
order. So, do we have this bigger problem that we need this additional vetting? And
I would say yes. I would say more still. But it doesn't affect us directly. It's just every county office.
I think it might go back to, if you remember a few years ago under the previous administration, they would bring people in and move them out of Texas. You didn't know where they were going. I remember our governor one time says, they could be bringing busloads to Nebraska, and I had not been told. And that wasn't just Nebraska, it's Wisconsin. And I think that caused a great deal of uneasiness, if you will, across the governor's desk in the nation, because they couldn't say, whoa, we don't want this, you know, because these people, we don't know what we're getting, and some of these gangs were coming through this. So I think that's, I agree with Gary, I think the worrying sometimes gets everybody uneasy, because it makes it sound like, oh, put the welcome sign up. It's not like the livestock deal, you know, where we're a livestock-friendly county. And I'm not saying we don't welcome immigrants. My gosh.
These aren't immigrants, though. These are refugees.
A lot of people come here that way.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Do they have any idea, on the impact it's going to have on the community?
I would say little to none initially. This isn't saying we're going to accept more people. If I read this correctly, it's we're agreeing to the increased vetting.
And regardless, you've got to have a local organization with the money and the resources to help them resettle.
Right now,
that's pretty limited.
Right now, the resettlement is quietly behind the scenes, illegally through some of the same religious groups. With no vetting.
St. John's used to sponsor some refugees.
Is there any downside? What's the consequence if we do not consent to this? I guess that's what I'm asking. We either consent to it or we do not. What is?
I don't see a downside.
To not consenting to it? I don't necessarily either, because the governor's already consented to this to come into the state. Governor Ricketts has already said we're going to.
So basically, you're supporting, like you said, stricter vetting of people coming into our country. I mean, if you put it that way, who's going to object to it? If you put it the way that press release kind of sounds like, it's like, I want more people coming into our county.
Is there a time limit on when we need to?
Yeah, because I sent it, I think I got another email, and it was supposed to be like the 17th is the deadline.
Yeah. Friday, January 17th. And I just got this email last week.
No, we got some longer ago that you got them.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
And it also gives us the ability to resend it down the road. So.
I have a phone call scheduled with Taylor Gage again this afternoon to talk about this more. He just did not have time between Sunday and yesterday to visit about it. He emailed me several times, but
I guess that's the other thing. If politically, if you're looking at, we're always trying to get some help on our judgment. Danny, you know this, up in Lincoln, sometimes you gotta smile when you're actually crying and shake hands and work with somebody that might help you down the road.
Who is this catalyst?
That's the
only
thing I'll say on that.
I don't know.
It doesn't hurt you
and
to support it.
I had two different names on
the I'm just worried about the way it comes out.
Policy advisor.
Let's see, what did they
I don't know who these people are. Catalyst Public Affairs.
You guys are supporting bringing more immigrants.
John Cameron called me yesterday. I didn't see what we decided.
What did he? Is this NACO pushing for us to?
Well, it went to him as well. The emails for us. So.
Purpose of this, and I'll just read through some of this as you're thinking. Section 1, purpose is resettling refugees into American communities. It is the policy of the United States to cooperate and consult with state and local governments to take into account the preference of state governments and provide a pathway for refugees to become self-sufficient. These policies support each other. Close cooperation with the state and local government ensure that refugees are resettled in communities that are eager and equipped to support the successful integration into American society. I don't know that we're eager or equipped, but we potentially are. The federal government is trying to talk with the state to provide the best environment for refugees, but also be respectful to communities. Maybe John's right. Maybe we don't consent to this.
One of the first emails we
I
got
do too,
from
John. I think we do
Emily
consent
Sutton
to it.
With Assistant Vice President of Community Services, Lutheran Family Services in Nebraska. And
so
I'm
this is just private groups wanting us to. These are just private groups wanting us to consent to this?
It says, as you know, on September 26th, President Trump issued Executive Order 13888 requiring written consent from governors and local executives for future resettlement. There is at least one refugee with family ties.
Gives us an opportunity to be part of it. Why wouldn't we want to be part of it?
Well, I mean, that's what the governor says, too. I mean, that's basically following Ricketts then. And, I mean, I think that's a good idea for us anyway.
Well, if they go south on you from your perspective, you can pull out. It's in there. And I think that's, like I told John, that's a bigger statement if they start going against what you guys feel is appropriate to pull out of this thing.
I'll visit more, too, if I hear something crazy. I mean, I think it's odd.
How much crazier can Washington get?
Well.
Who sent us this? Where did we get this? From LFS and some of those organizations?
The U.S. Department. Oh, no, that's.
The first one came from Lutheran Family Services in Nebraska from an Emily Sutton, and this is a couple emails from this person here.
Then we started getting it from Catalyst Public Affairs. I don't know why we have a... Catalyst Affairs, Lutheran Family Services.
Okay, that tells me all I need to know. Yep.
If we want to sign it, it's a approve or disapprove signing letter on enhancing state and local involvement in refugee resettlement. Like you say, it goes along with President Trump and Governor Ricketts then.
Move to approve.
Second.
Letter on enhancing state and local involvement in refugee resettlement.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion? I would ask you to vote. 5 in favor. Anything
You're
else? I'd ask for a motion to adjourn if there is not. Seeing no motion, we are adjourned at 10:39.
Yeah, but I had extra. What'd you say?
We are adjourned at 10:39 since no one was motioning.
Have a good week.
Let me